أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين. وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، Welcome to another episode of our Tafsir page by page. And inshallah ta'ala, today we're on page 158, which is in the 8th juz of the Quran, Surah Al-A'raf. In the previous episode, we mentioned those verses of Allah Azza wa Jal in this surah, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, speaking about the people of Quraysh, was asking them, or speaking about the disbelievers in general, of what it is that they're waiting for. Are they waiting for the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal to come, or those days of, or that time to come when it will be the day of judgment and that it will strike, and then they will be made to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a day in which there will be no intercession for them, nor will anyone come to their aid or to their rescue. And Allah Azza wa Jalla then spoke about some of His abilities, Jalla fi ula, some of His signs in the universe, how He created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, how He ascended above the throne subhanahu wa ta'ala, how Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to us the sun and the moon and the stars and the day and the night. All of these are from the signs of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to us those signs of rain, how the rain comes and it descends in a land, on a land, and it brings that land back to life, it revives it. And just as that is the case, there are some lands or some parts of the earth that take from that rain, they benefit from it, and they blossom as a result of it. But then there are other types of earth and land that don't really benefit despite the rain that falls upon it. And likewise, the people's hearts are the same. Those hearts that are pure and noble. And so when that message of Allah Azza wa Jalla comes, those signs and revelation of Allah come upon them, they are able to soak up that revelation and benefit from it. And other types of hearts that are like the barren land, that despite the multitude of rain that falls upon it, it has little to no benefit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now in the verses that we're going to begin with from today, which is verse 59 onwards, will now give to us a number of examples. So in the previous number of episodes and passages of this surah, Allah Azza wa Jalla has spoken about different aspects of Tawheed, different aspects of belief in Allah Azza wa Jalla, and how He sent to people signs and how they rejected those signs, and so on and so forth. Now, Allah Azza wa Jalla will give us some practical examples of that through the stories of a number of prophets and messengers. And this is the first time since we began this tafsir, because Surah Al-A'raf is the first of the surahs of the Qur'an. When we go from the beginning, from Surah Al-Fatiha onwards, it is the first surah of the Qur'an that gives to us in detail the stories of the prophets that were sent to different nations. So we've mentioned already before in passing, for example, some of the aspects of the stories of Musa alayhi salam, for example. But now we're going to speak about a number of the prophets. And Allah Azza wa Jalla in succession will tell us the stories of the likes of Nuh and Hud and Salih and Lut and Shu'aib and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, in particular as it relates to their experiences with their nations and how they called them and how they were rejected. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla gives us practical examples of how when the prophets and messengers of Allah came with that message of Tawheed, asking and calling their people to Allah Azza wa Jal, how those people used to respond, and how they often rejected that call, and how they not only rejected that call, but often violently so, persecuting their prophets and messengers, and trying to do a great deal of harm to them. So the first of those stories is the story of the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. Allah Azza wa Jal says in verse number 59 of this surah, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لقد أرسلنا نوحا إلى قومه فقال يا قوم اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره إني أخاف عليكم عذاب يوم عظيم. We said Nuh to his people and he said, my people serve Allah or worship Allah, you have no God other than him, I fear for you the punishment of a fearsome day. Allah Azza wa Jal begins with the Prophet of Allah or the Messenger of Allah, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. And that is because Nuh alayhi salam, as we know from the sunnah of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam, was the first of Allah's messengers sent to the people of the earth. So before the time of Nuh alayhi salam, all of the people were upon Tawheed. All of the generations from the time of Adam alayhi salam until just before the time of Nuh, they were upon the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal and worship of Allah Azza wa Jal alone. And it is only at the time of Nuh, or just before his time, that the people first went away from that path of Tawheed and started to delve into shirk and started to associate partners with Allah Azza wa Jalla. And that is why the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when the people go to the different prophets asking for their intercession, they will come to Nuh alayhi salam, and what they will say in praise of him is that you, O Nuh, are the first of Allah's messengers to the people of the earth. You were the first of the Rusul, because everyone before you was a prophet. So Allah Azza wa Jal here tells us the story of Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam. In the narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, he says, just to give a quick background to the story of Nuh alayhi salam, since it is the first time that we're covering it, Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, in his narration, he says that the people from the time of Adam until the time of Nuh, approximately 10 generations of people, all of them were upon the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worshipping Allah azza wa jalla alone, until there came a time when the people they lived amongst them five noble people, five righteous men. And Allah Azza wa Jal dedicates a surah of the Quran to the Prophet Nuh, that is a surah that is named after Nuh alayhi salam. And the names of those five people, those five men, are mentioned explicitly in the Quran. And that is that they are Wad and Suwa' and Yaguth and Ya'uq and Nasr. These are five men that were righteous and noble in the generation of those people of Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam. After those five people passed away, Iblis came to them in the form of a man. And he said to those people, these men that just died were righteous men, pious men, God-fearing men. And now that they have died, you should erect statues of them so that when you see them, you are reminded of their goodness and piety, and that you too will then be good like them. You come past them, you see that statue, you're like, he was a noble man. It inspires you to be noble. That man was a righteous man. It motivates you to be righteous. And so this is something which, this is from the traps of Iblis, from the ways that Iblis plays with the children of Adam. Comes with the very noblest of means, something which seems very positive in its outset. But Iblis, as we said before, plays the long game. He's not even interested in those people that are going to do this, but rather the generations that will succeed them. And so Nuh alayhi salam, or those people rather at that time, they accepted this advice. And they erected these five big statues across their city, each one depicting one of these five men of righteousness and piety. But then that generation dies, and the next one comes and dies, and the next one comes and dies, until a group of people now arrive, a generation, who no longer remember the purpose of those statues. They only know that they've been there for a long time. They only know that their ancestors in one way or another respected them and honored them. But they don't really know the background, and it's lost over time, as often happens when people start to do practices like this. You can't really trace back its history because it's not based in scripture. It's not based on any type of evidence or history. It is based upon what the people did culturally or according to their norms or what they consider to be good. And so a generation comes that no longer understands. So Iblis comes to them again in the form of a man. And he says, asks them, don't you know what these statues are for? Don't you know what your parents used to do and your grandparents and ancestors did with them? They said, no, we don't really understand and know what they're for. He said, these are your gods that they worship. These are the gods that you're meant to be worshipping. So those people started to perform shirk with Allah Azza wa Jal. They worship those idols besides Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say in Surah Nuh, that they said when Nuh alayhi salam came, and don't leave your gods, لا تذرن آلهتكم, don't leave your gods, don't forsake them, ولا تذرن, and don't forsake Wad, or Suwa, or Yaguth, or Ya'uq, or Nasr. They named those men and said, don't forsake, these are your gods that you should be worshipping. And that is when Nuh alayhi salam is sent to that people, when that's the predominant thought and mindset that is taking place, Nuh alayhi salam is then sent to call them back to Allah Azza wa Jalla and remind them of the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the point is that this is how shirk begins. And this is the essence of shirk. And that is why when the scholars of Islam are strict, when they see someone making dua to a grave, or they see someone, for example, asking someone to give them a child, or they see someone doing an aspect of something that may, even if that person's intention is not shirk, and they don't really have that in their heart, but it's an action that they shouldn't be doing except for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it is a form of minor shirk, that is something which the scholars speak out, and they speak out against it very strictly, because this is how shirk permeates through a nation. And that is why you see today in the Muslim ummah, across the Muslim world, you will see examples of shirk in many different forms. And those people don't for one second believe they're committing shirk. Not for one second do those people believe that they are doing wrong or haram, because which Muslim in their right mind would do something that they openly consider to be shirk? But those acts are shirk if you speak to those individuals and come down to what it is that they're trying to do and achieve through those acts of worship that they're performing, then it is very similar, if not the same as, and sometimes worse than what the Quraysh did with all of their idols in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so here Allah Azza wa Jalla gives to us this story then. لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ. So we called, or we sent the messenger of Allah, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, to his people. We sent him to his people because that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla does. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be upon Tawheed. And Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't like that people are upon shirk. And so Allah sends prophets and messengers and gives to them revelation and scripture that they may remember their Lord and Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَقَالَ يَا قُوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُهُ. So Nuh alayhi salam came to his people and he said, O my people, worship Allah, you have no other God besides him. This is the call that Allah Azza wa Jalla will repeat throughout this surah. In the story of, as we've seen here, Nuh, and then again in the story of Hud and Salih and Shu'aib, these prophets of Allah, that to show that their call was one, that their message was one, that all of the messengers and prophets of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam from the time of Adam until our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, all of them called to that one same message of Tawheed. They may have had differences in terms of some of the rulings of their Sharia, some of the do's and the don'ts of the halal and the haram. In some of those minutiae details, they may have had some differing amongst them in terms of their Sharia's, but the overarching message was that of worshipping Allah alone, believing in Allah Azza wa Jalla alone, having Tawheed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And that is what Nuh alayhi salam calls his people to. O my people, worship Allah alone. You have no other God besides him. إِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. For I fear for you the punishment of a fearsome day. And that is what the prophets and messengers did. They gave, as Allah has told us now a number of times in the Quran, they gave glad tidings and they gave warnings. My people, worship Allah, which means if you do so, you will be rewarded. You will be upon the path to success and salvation. And O my people, beware that if you don't worship Allah alone, then you're going to be from those people that Allah punishes. And that punishment is not like any punishment. It's not just like the worldly punishment, but it is the punishment of Yawm al-Qiyamah and the punishment of the Akhirah, which is a major type of punishment. So how did his people respond? In verse number 60, Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us, look at the response that his people gave to him.
قال الملأ من قومه إنا لنراك في ضلال مبين.
But the prominent leaders of his people said, we believe you are far astray. The Malak, Allah Azza wa Jal, often in the Quran will refer to the people who opposed his prophets and messengers as Malak. It is mentioned in the story of Pharaoh, for example, and Musa alayhi salam, and it's mentioned in a number of other stories of these prophets that were sent to different nations. The Malak are the nobility and the leaders. Remember those verses that we covered already in Surah Al-A'raf when we were speaking about the people of the fire and the people of Jannah and the conversations that they will have? One of those conversations is between the people of the fire themselves, that when they enter into the fire in droves and multitudes and as groups and nations, they will curse one another. And then the followers will say to their leaders, it's because of you that we're here. So Allah doubled the punishment of these people. Those verses that we covered already. This is an example of this. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that it is the malak of the people, the nobility, their leaders, they used to say, because they're the ones that take the lead upon in this issue of rejecting their prophets and messengers. They're the ones at the forefront. And everyone else just follows them because they're the elders and they're the leaders and they're the nobility and the rich and the wealthy. And so they just become like the masses that follow them. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla often in the Quran speaks about the malak because they are the primary enemies to those prophets and messengers that Allah Azza wa Jalla sent to them. So here we have the malak. From his people, from the people of Nuh alayhi salam, who said, "Inna lanaraka fi dalalin mubin." We think that you are upon misguidance. And how ironical that when they are the ones upon shirk and upon polytheism and idol worship and idolatry, that they're turning towards one of the greatest prophets and messengers of Allah, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, and saying that we fear that you are upon misguidance. And that is always the way, or many times often the way that the prophets and messengers were treated. They were rejected and denied. And often their people would ridicule them as being crazy or upon misguidance. So all these terms that we heard that the Quraysh used to say and the Arabs used to say about our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were not new. It's not the first time that it ever happened in the history of humankind. Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us to say that right from the first messenger that Allah Azza wa Jalla sent, the people responded in that same way. You're crazy. You're upon misguidance. You're foolish. You're upon something which we don't understand and we don't like. And so this is how they responded to Nuh alayhi salam.
نوح عليه السلام responds in verse 61 and he says, قال يا قوم ليس بي ضلالة ولكني رسول من رب العالمين.
He replied, my people, there is nothing astray about me. On the contrary, I am a messenger from the Lord of all of the worlds.
Nuh alayhi salam responds and he says, what misguidance do you think that I am upon? When I am calling you to the worship of Allah alone and telling you that what you're worshipping of these idols that cannot move, cannot speak, cannot eat, cannot drink, cannot protect you, cannot harm you, cannot benefit you, they can't respond to you, there's nothing that they can actually do, but you are the ones who create them and fashion them, and then you are the ones who give them offerings and take those offerings away, and they can do nothing. Their position does not change, no matter what you do, no matter the weather or the circumstances or the hardships or the difficulties, they stay exactly as the inanimate objects that they are. And you're saying to me that I'm upon misguidance when this is what you're doing? And so these people were saying that, oh Nuh, you're on misguidance. And he says, but if you were to just stop and think and ponder and reflect, you will realize which one of the two of us is upon misguidance. But rather, I am a messenger from Allah Azza wa Jal. I am a prophet that Allah Azza wa Jal has sent to you, that you may be guided, that I may show you the path back to him, that you may stop and think as to what it is that Allah Azza wa Jal wants from you. And as we know from elsewhere in the Quran, Nuh alayhi salam is rejected in a number of ways. Inshallah ta'ala, when we come to the tafsir of Surah Nuh in the 29th juz of the Quran, towards the very end of the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, we will see in more detail the measures and the extent to which Nuh alayhi salam went in order to call his people and to guide them, and how despite all of his efforts they rejected, how despite all of his efforts they denied him and they tried to harm him instead. But he continues in verse 62 and he says, أبلغكم رسالات ربي وأنصح لكم أعلم من الله ما لا تعلمون. I am delivering my Lord's messages to you and giving you sincere advice. I know things from Allah that you do not know. And so he says that what I have come to you with is the message of my Lord, telling you what your Lord wants from you, what your Creator has legislated upon you, what he wants from you, and that is the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal alone. وأنصح لكم. And I am sincere in my advice to you. And this is a common characteristic of all of the prophets and messengers of Allah. That the prophets and messengers of Allah, all of them, are people of sincere advice. They're people who are sincere, sincerity and honesty and integrity when they call their people to Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is why the prophets and messengers of Allah, even before they are sent to their people, they are known for this particular trait. And that is that they are people of honesty. They were not known to be liars or cheats or deceivers, because then when they came with the message of Allah, their people would rightly be able to say to them, but you have a history of lying and cheating. You have a history of being dishonest and unfaithful and untrue. And so the prophets of Allah are always people of impeccable character, impeccable manners, impeccable in the way that they deal with people and in their interactions. So when they bring the message of Allah, at the very least, those people cannot say that this person is a liar. Because even if they call him a liar, they call him a liar based upon what they say now. They never called him a liar before. And those people who then stop and think about this will know that this man doesn't have a history of lying. And that is why when in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Abu Sufyan was questioned by the Byzantine Roman leader, he asked him these questions. Is this man known to lie? Was he known to make these claims before? Was it known that his family were leaders and kings, that he might want to take back their position of power for himself? And Abu Sufyan said, no, it's not known to have ever lied. We can't claim that he was ever a liar. Not known to have made up these types of claims before. Not known that his parents were kings. We don't have kings like that, that he's trying to take back their power. His family is one of the noble families anyway of Quraysh. And so the Byzantine Roman leader, he remarked on this. And he said that I asked you these questions to know the history of this man, his personality and his character. Because someone who has a history of making these types of claims, or they're known to be dishonest or to have a lack of integrity, then he comes with this claim, you're going to take that with a good measure of suspicion as to whether this person is truthful or not. But someone who's known only to speak the truth, you only believe in him, he's the one that would settle your disputes, he's the one that you would go to in order to arbitrate between you, he's known for these characteristics and you trusted him, then why now would you cast him to be a liar simply because he bought something which you don't necessarily like? And that is what Nuh alayhi salam does. He's a sincere man to his people. وَعَلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to me knowledge, that which you do not know, that which you are not aware of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us in verse 63, أَوَعَجِبْتُمْ أَنْ جَاءَكُمْ ذِكْرٌ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ عَلَى رَجُلٍ مِّنْكُمْ لِيُنْذِرَكُمْ وَلِتَتَّقُوا وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Do you find it so strange that a message should come from your Lord through a man in your midst to warn you and make you aware of Allah so that you may be given mercy? Are you amazed at this? That Allah Azza wa Jalla would send to you from a man from amongst you that would come with a message from your Lord. And that is because, as we know, the disbelievers would often think that this is something foolish, or they would say that if Allah was going to send someone, why didn't he send an angel? Or they would say, if he was going to choose a prophet or messenger, why didn't he choose one of us, meaning from the leaders and nobility of our people, meaning from already from the existing leaders and the most noble of the families and so on. These are all things that we've already touched upon throughout the Quran and the tafsir that we've done thus far. And here again, this is exactly the same from the very beginning of the messenger ships in which Allah Azza wa Jalla sent messengers to the different nations. Nuh alayhi salam has been told the same thing. They were amazed that they would choose, that he would be chosen. They were amazed that he could claim to be a prophet and messenger speaking on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why he says to them, أَوَعَجِبْتُ مَنْ جَاءَكُمْ ذِكْرٌ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Do you find it strange that a message should come to you from your Lord? عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنْكُمْ, through a man in your own midst. لِيُنذِرَكُمْ وَلِتَتَّقُوا وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. That he should warn you and make you aware of Allah so that you may be given his mercy. And so he's saying to them, how can you be amazed at this? Rather, you should see this as one of Allah's favors upon you. And that is why we said before that the disbelievers, when they see things like this, what do? They become preoccupied with the how and the why, and why him and why not me, and this is all that shaitan does with them. He plays with them so that they become immersed in this type of discussion. Whereas the people of pure and clean, noble hearts, what do they see? They see the great blessing of Allah. That Allah chose someone, that now we actually know how to worship our Lord. We can find a path and a way back to him. And so they embrace that knowledge and they embrace that revelation that is given by their Lord, and they turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the final verse we'll take today, because then the story of Nuh, of Hud alayhi salam, which is the next story, goes on into the next page and is longer. But we will stop here inshallah ta'ala at the end of this verse 64, and the end of the story of the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. Allah Azza wa Jalla then says, speaking about the result of the people of Nuh and their consequences of on the consequences of their actions and their decisions. فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَأَنْجَيْنَاهُ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ فِي الْفُلْكِ وَأَغْرَقَنَا الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَوْمًا عَمِينَ. But they called him a liar. So we saved him and those who were with him on the ark, and we drowned those who rejected our revelations. They were willfully blind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they rejected him. And we know from elsewhere in the Quran that the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam stayed upon amongst his people, calling them to Allah for 950 years. ألف سنة إلا خمسين عاما. As Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in Surah Al-Ankabut, 950 years he spent calling them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they rejected him and they turned away from him. فأنجينا, so Allah said, we saved him. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ, and those who were with him from the believers. And the believers, it is said, from amongst his people were very few. Relatively speaking, considering that he was calling his people for 950 years, he didn't have a great ummah or a big, large following of people that followed him. He had very few people that believed in him. So Allah Azza wa Jal saved him and those who believed, fil fulk, on the ark that he was commanded to build. And inshallah, as we go through the Quran, we will see the different passages in which Allah Azza wa Jal speaks about the ark and some of its details and its building and so on, and how Allah Azza wa Jal commanded Nuh alayhi salam to also cause to embark upon that ark a pair from every animal species, that they should also be part of the ark, because Allah Azza wa Jalla would then destroy these people. وَأَغْرَقَنَا الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا. How would they be destroyed? They were drowned. Allah Azza wa Jalla sent upon the earth floods that would drown all of those that didn't believe in the Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. And that is why everyone that came after Nuh alayhi salam is from the progeny of Nuh alayhi salam. And that is why you will find in the books of history that often he is referred to as Al-Abu Thani, the second father of humankind. The first father obviously being Adam alayhi salam. He is called the second father of humankind for that reason. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَوْمًا عَمِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla then concludes and says, these were people who were blind. And because of that blindness, their rejection and turning away, Allah Azza wa Jalla destroyed them. So this is already the first example, as we see here in this passage, of a people who were told about Tawheed and reminded of the signs of Allah and were given a prophet and messenger to guide them back to Allah Azza wa Jal, and they denied him and they rejected him, and as a result Allah Azza wa Jal destroyed them. And inshallah in the next episode we will have another example in the story of Hud alayhi salatu wasalam and his nation, the people of Ad. But that is where we stop for today's episode. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.